I wasn't aware of this until recently, but there are five major types of anxiety, from post-traumatic stress disorder to obsessive-compulsive disorder to anxiety that is hard to classify but is certainly felt. As a matter of fact, that hard-to-classify anxiety is what many deal with on a daily basis. Now, just to be clear, it's estimated that 18% of adults in the U.S. struggle with anxiety. And when I use that word anxiety, it really means that it's crippling life. Like, it makes it difficult to go through the day. Like, when you should be sleeping, you're wide awake because it's induced insomnia. It's so overwhelming that it jeopardizes relationships, it jeopardizes your job, it kills any dreams that you might have. Like, what anxiety really does is it imagines a threat and you can't move past the threat. It's a tidal wave of what ifs. Like, what if I get sick? What if my kids get sick? What if I never find a job again? I mean, the kids' teeth are crooked and we don't have the money to get them braces because their teeth are crooked. They'll never get a job. They'll never get married. We'll never have grandkids again. Our whole life is ruined. Look, I'm not attempting to laugh off the seriousness of the stronghold of anxiety in our lives. But what anxious thoughts do is they take a molehill and they turn it into a mountain. And this series is so important because there have been an increased rise of anxiety in America. Like, over the last 30 years, anxiety disorder has increased by more than 12,000%. Like, one could say we are in a pandemic of anxiety. And if you're living with anxiety, please, please don't ignore it. And don't feel guilty or think that you're weak in faith because anxiety has a grip on your life. If you're paralyzed with anxiety and worry and fear, I'm instructing you to get some help and get healthy. And just as if you had heart problem or knee pain or persistent headaches, you'd go visit a doctor. So get help and get healthy. It doesn't make you less of a person, and it certainly doesn't make you less of a Christian. You need hope. You need hope in knowing that there is a cure. You can overcome anxiety and be victorious over what has a hold on you. Like, some of you might need to go to a physician and might need to get some medication to help you to get healthy. Some need just to talk it out, what's troubling you, and you need to go to a therapist. But whether it's a physical or psychological thing, please get help and get on a path of getting healthy. Like, we all recognize that anxiety is not just merely a physical issue that you can take medication for, or just a psychological issue that you can get counseling for. It's also a spiritual issue. And the Word of God needs to be a part of the solution. And this series is designed to give you solutions to overcome anxiety and to climb over the nervousness that you might have in these moments. And God's Word has so much to say about worry and fear and anxiety and insecurity. And God understood that as his creation progressively moved further away from him, that despair would increase in us, that sorrow would escalate within us, and that anxiety would incapacitate us. Like, what I've observed is this: as we've removed God from our lives, and as we remove God from the national conversation, the greater our anxiety and worry has become a normal part of our lives. God gave us his Word partly to help us understand who he is and who we are, and how to overcome the daily trouble that this world presents to us. Now, I know that each one of us can get our anxieties under control because God commands us to. He commands us to not worry and to fear not. Jesus taught us in Matthew's gospel, do not be anxious about your life. And then Jesus gives us a spiritual prescription for anxiety in that same teaching. He goes on to say, instead of being anxious, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Like, I know that we can break free from the grip that anxiety can have on us. I know this because when God commands his children to do something, he gives them the power to accomplish it. God never tells us to do what is impossible for us to do. So it's possible for you and I to live a life free of anxiety, free of fear, free of insecurities and worries. The Apostle Paul, he discovered this. He discovered that you can have true and lasting peace even when everyone else is panicking. He discovered you can have joy when the world is full of sorrow. He discovered that you can be filled with hope even when the world is fraught with despair. The spiritual prescription, so to speak, is found in Philippians chapter 4. And I'll tell you how he was able to overcome anxiety in his life, but first allow me to give you a quick backstory on Paul's circumstances. He tells us how to get anxiety under control and get healthy, but while he's doing that, Paul is under house arrest in the city of Rome. He doesn't have family and friends around him to care for him, to help him through this crisis. He's all alone. He has an ankle bracelet on because he's under house arrest, but it's not an electronic ankle bracelet. It was chained to a Roman guard that was with him at all times. He's in Rome waiting for a trial date. He's hoping to get a hearing before the Emperor Nero, but Paul knows he's been falsely arrested. Instead of crying the blues, he uses every moment to ensure that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached. You know, one of the major themes of the letter of Philippians is how to choose joy when bad things are happening to you. The words joy or rejoice are found 16 times in that little letter. And the irony is that Paul taught about joy when his circumstances were nowhere close to what you and I would call joyous. Like, he is faced with an unknown future and he's waiting on his government to let him free from house arrest. Sound familiar? We've heard the song, "Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen." Paul does. 5 times he received the 39 lashes, the whipping that Jesus experienced before the cross. And Paul had that happen to him 5 times. And just about the time when his wounds were beginning to heal, they would whip him again. And beyond that, he was beaten with rods as punishment. He was shipwrecked on a prison boat and spent 48 hours in the Mediterranean Sea until he was washed ashore on a desert island. And when he reached shore, it was cold, it was rainy, so he built a fire. And while getting warm, a venomous snake slithered out of the flaming wood pile and bit him. Guys, that's a bad day. He was stoned. And I'm not talking about recreationally or medically. He had heavy rocks thrown at him at close distance with the hopes that one would strike his head and smash his skull. And for those of you who are going like stir crazy right now in this moment, or you're losing your marbles right now, or for those of you who are having a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, bad lifetime, hey, Paul's a living testimony that you can overcome anxiety even when life seems hopeless. It's at that very end of that letter of Philippians that we find Paul's spiritual prescription to anxiety. It's found in chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Here's what he says. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it to you again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard in me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." You know, for years, Christian authors and preachers have been summarizing the compounds of this prescription. However, I think the most practical way to apply what Paul is prescribing is to teach you what Max Lucado taught in his book titled Anxious for Nothing. He points out that Paul was able to find calm in the midst of a chaotic world. Actually, Lucado uses the word calm to help bring about his teaching. You know, Paul was able to overcome his anxieties by first celebrating who God is, second, asking God for help, third, leaving the problem with God, and fourth, meditating on what's good. Let's take a look at Paul's prescription. First, celebrate who God is. In Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice." Did you notice there where the celebration is found? It's found in the Lord. It's found in God. Like, in times of despair and anguish, the healthiest thing that you can do is look to God. You'll find strength and hope and peace because that's who God is. And that's what he has promised to you. He's promised you that and all the more. And what Paul is prescribing us to do is to set belief before behavior. So if you find that your anxiety is out of control, it's time to go back and evaluate what you believe about God. Let me illustrate this. I can remember a time when I was teaching one of my boys how to swim. And so I got into the pool and they stood on the edge and they were afraid of the water at that time. I mean, look, they didn't know how to swim. So I told them to jump in and I would catch them and then we would learn to just get like acclimated to the water. I can remember that little boy standing there on the edge for a while, like a long while. And I would just continually keep on saying, all right, jump in, I'll catch it. Like, just trust me, I'll catch you. And the longer he stood there frozen on the edge of the pool deck, the more frustrated I got in the water. It was like, okay, jump, just jump already. Trust me. So help me, if you don't get in here and jump into this pool right now, I will drag you into this pool. Okay, that didn't really happen, but you can understand the level of frustration. But I wonder, why do we get frustrated? Like, if you've ever thought, why do you get so frustrated when your child won't just trust you and jump into you? It's because you know how much you love that kid. That's why we get frustrated. You know how trustworthy you are. And their behavior in that moment is saying, I don't really believe you. And I think in a small way, anxiety reveals to us something that we don't believe about God. Like, we'll sit there and say, I know Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, but that still doesn't stop us from not worrying. Like, do I really believe that God will take care of me tomorrow? That all my needs will be met by God, even if my tomorrow looks bleak today? Is my behavior matching my belief? Like, take some time this week. Let me just challenge it to list out all the blessings that God has poured into your life during this moment in history. Like, write it out. Type it into the notes of your phone right after this message is over. Make a list of God's blessings and then daily look over that list and add to it and rejoice in the Lord because of it. I've discovered that gratitude is a great antidote to anxiety. Celebrate who God is and what he's doing. And what I've found in my life is that God bats 1,000 even when I don't. He's faithful even when I'm not. And if anxiety is gripping your life right now, celebrate who God is. You know, Philippians 4 continues this prescription to overcome anxiety. Look at verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul's second part of his prescription is to ask God for help. Now, some of you, you got hung up on that first part, that phrase right there at the beginning. Do not be anxious about anything. And your thoughts might have been, nah, that's impossible. But Paul is addressing anxiety that keeps us from living on mission for God and the anxiousness that holds us back from trusting in God for all of our needs. Of course, you're going to experience momentary nervousness in life. Like, if you ever let your teenage, you know, driver drive you around, you've just experienced a bit of anxiety. Or if you've ever purchased a new home, or if you have like waited your turn to go back for surgery, you know the momentary nervousness is unavoidable. And Paul's speaking to the anxiety that shackles us from living out our God-given purpose, and the anxiety that holds us back from loving him and loving others like we were called to do. I like how Max Lucado explained this. He wrote, the presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. You know, Paul wrote these words in the Greek language, and the Greek word used for anxiety here is merina. It, at its core, it means to have your mind pulled in 100 different directions. Like, what anxiety does is it makes it very difficult to focus on peace and to focus on God. So we're being encouraged by Paul to refocus. That's like supremely difficult, though, when your mind is going 100 different directions. So Scripture lays out this plan and asks us to put it into place and follow it in life. Look at it. Look at it with me. It's like three words are used to help us focus in on God and his faithfulness rather than our inabilities and weakness. And here's what we're told to do. In every situation, anytime you feel anxious or nervous, we're counseled to do three things. They sound the same, but they're different. We're to pray, we're to petition, and to request. So we are counseled to pray, but we're encouraged to pray in a certain progression by Paul in this moment. Like, prayer is your approach. This is when you just simply tell God, I know you can help, and I'm coming to you for help. This is acknowledging that God has the power to do something that you cannot do. Petition is your appeal. This is when you appeal to God for help. God, I know you can help. I'm coming to you specifically because I need your help. This is acknowledging that God cares for you and won't let you suffer. And then there's a word that Paul uses, the word request. Request is your aim. This is when I get specific and I aim what is really troubling me to God. This is acknowledging that God is hearing your defined plea for help and that he will be present in the specific problem. And maybe the prayer is, God, I know you can help. Then the petition, God, I need your help. And the request, God, this is what I am specifically asking you to help me with because this is troubling me. So this is not just like a blanket prayer of, God, help me ease my anxiety. This is getting definite and specific and getting to the point where we look at God and say, God, this is what really worries me. And what Paul is encouraging us to do is to shrink the target of our prayers so that we get to the heart of what we're so anxious about. And I think the more that you pray specifically, the more that God can ease your anxiety. And when you're specific with your prayer, it helps you get to like the root cause of what is really making you so anxious. You see, for many, we feel anxious, but we rarely define it. We know it's there, but we don't know where it's coming from. Hey, this week, get specific with your prayers to God. Get to the heart of your hurt. Get to the heart of what is holding you back. Pray, God, I know you can help me. I need your help right now. God, this is what is specifically causing me pain. You know, the spiritual prescription so far is celebrate who God is, ask God for help, and Paul adds, leave your problems with God. Like, this is where the peace part really kicks in. It really does no good to pray and then hold on to your problems. You've got to release to find peace. Look at what Philippians 4:7 says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is leaving the problem in God's hands. It's like that famous prayer, Dear Lord, I leave my burdens at your feet today. I choose to let go of my need for control and trust that you are at work. This goes back to what you believe about God will determine your behavior. And I think there comes a point when you recognize, I don't have control over this anxiety, but I have prayed, I have petitioned, and I've requested God to have control over my anxiety. You know, in chapter 5, it says, so humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at that right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. You know, there comes a time when you leave the worry and the anxiety and the fear in the hands of God. It's a humbling recognition that God cares for me, has power over my problem, and can fight my greatest fear, and he'll work his way in my deepest worry. What Paul and Peter are both instructing us to do is to stop carrying burdens that we were never meant to carry. You know, in 2006, Dr. Walter Cavert did a study of the things that we worry about the most. He discovered that 40% of the things we worry about never happen. And 30% of the things that we worry about are really concerns of the past, and they can't be redone. And 12% are needless worries about our health. 10% of things are insignificant or petty. He boiled it down and said that 8% are legitimate issues. In other words, 92% of our worry is over things that will never happen or have already happened or things that we can never, ever change. And the reminder today is you can't change things, but God can. Because God is in control. God is powerful and God is sovereign. You know, the root word for worry in the Greek means to be pulled in 100 different directions, but it also carries with it this imagery of being strangled. It's true that anxiety, worry, fear, insecurity, they all squeeze the life out of us. And the physical consequences of taking on stresses that you can't solve are endless, like insomnia, heart attack, headaches, migraines, depression, muscle tension, anxiety disorders. You know, it's funny. I've never had any of those symptoms until I became a parent. But anxiety not only hurts us physically, it strangles us spiritually. And Jesus spoke about people receiving salvation from their sins, and he illustrates it by telling us about a farmer who is scattering seed. Some seed lands on the soil, and some lands and grows good crop, and some seed lands on the rocks, and some in the thorns and the weeds, and some in an area that had very little topsoil. And Jesus said, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked out by life's worries. Worry and anxiety squeeze the life out of us physically, but also can squeeze the life out of us spiritually. Like, worry is ruining your life. It's not enough to tell yourself to quit worrying, because worry is an inside job, and so is peace, though. We will only find that peace, that peace that Paul talks about, that transcends all understanding, when we throw our cares onto God and rest knowing that God loves you and doesn't want you to be shackled to anxiety any longer. Okay, here's the last ingredient to the spiritual prescription to overcome anxiety. We're encouraged to meditate on what is good. Look at verses 8 and 9 of Philippians chapter 4. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure and lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, if you go to a nutritionist, they're going to tell you that there are basically three kinds of categories of food. There's health food, which is brain food, which actually stimulates the brain. It gives needed vitamins and nutrition to our bodies. Then there's junk food, which has like low or no nutritional value. And then there's toxic food, which is actually poisoning our bodies and causing harm to us. Now, that's not only true with our bodies, it's also true with our thoughts, your psyche, your mind. We're being challenged by Paul here to meditate on what is good. And like, your thoughts come from what you take in, what you consume. There are things that will bring us healthy thoughts, things that will encourage you, things that will build you up, things that will tell you the truth about yourself, things that will make you smarter, more confident, good and godly stuff to feed your mind on. But there are also things that are just junk and poison. Poison to our mind, junk to our thoughts. There's plenty of junk out there that we can fill our minds with. And it doesn't bring your thinking any value whatsoever. It doesn't help your anxiety. It might be something you watch on TV or music that you listen to or a podcast or a movie or a book that you're reading. But anything can be filled with that junk that fills our mind up with stuff that isn't good and godly. There's an alternative, and that's to feed your mind with good and godly thoughts. You see, the best weapon to control your thoughts is getting into God's word and letting him just speak to you. Another good weapon is to shed light on the darkness that's inside of you. Like, we all have dark thoughts. We all have thoughts that like are totally inconsistent with our faith. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And you need to have your mind enlightened. And Jesus taught it like this. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Okay, that might be a little bit confusing, so let me help to simplify it. The more that you allow God to be in your life, the less evil will be present within you. But when you allow evil into your life, it will overrun you. It will consume you. Hey guys, it's simple. More God, more peace. See, darkness, it loses its power when we shine light into it. Scripture tells us, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You know, the quickest way to peace is to meditate and to fill your mind with God's word and good thoughts. Like, consume your life with light. Fix your thoughts on what is true and what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I bet you're thinking the same thing I am, though. How do you even begin to do that? How do you start that? How do you think only about God? Well, here's where it starts. It starts with shedding light into your darkness. And so what I have to do is, first, I have to admit that I am responsible for my own thoughts, just like I'm responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for my thoughts, even my fearful, anxious thoughts. Two, I've got to admit that I don't have the strength to master my mind. I need God's help. I need to pray and ask him for strength. Three, I must have a willingness not to go back to the things that keep me in a destination of darkness. Like, I just got to leave that at the feet of God and say, God, that's yours, and I hand it to you. And four, I need to ask God to renew my mind and fill my mind with him. It's not about removing the bad things. It's about replacing them with good things, replacing the darkness with light, replacing it with God. You see, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 tells us, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. This is so important. God's Spirit does two things powerfully in our life. First, the Holy Spirit does for me the things that I cannot do on my own. And two, God's Spirit fulfills in me what God's desire to do in my life. And you need God's Spirit to take every thought captive. You need God's Spirit to experience an unexplainable peace. You need God's Spirit to break the grip that anxiety and fear have on your life. That Spirit, my friend, is only received when you receive Jesus Christ. And today you might want to put an end to anxiety. You might want to find to release control and give it over to God. It only starts with God's Spirit in your life, and that Spirit is only given when we give up our spirit for Christ's Spirit within us. And friends, the Bible teaches us that begins in a very special place at a very special time when we give our life over to Jesus Christ and we are baptized into him. And maybe today you're considering that. You need to speak to a pastor. Get a hold of us, would you? You can find all of our contact information on the platform that you're on, whether it's YouTube or Facebook. You can find our information on our website, bethanycc.net. Get a hold of a pastor. Talk to us. We want to know the commitments that you're making today. We want to know the moves that God is making in your life right now. But get a hold of us. Make sure that you make your next step towards Jesus Christ today. Let me pray for us. Lord, I pray that as we come to you today, maybe filled with mixed emotions of fear, anxiousness, whatever it is, insecurities, that we release them to you today, that we celebrate who you are, that we ask for your help, that we leave these problems in your hands, and Father, that we meditate on the good and godly things that you've put before us. We thank you for this great prescription to our anxieties. May we follow it, and may we get help, and may we get healthy. May you be a great part of that. We love you and we trust you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.